think about this for a moment. What are some bad things that we can fill our belly with? Now, some bad things that we can fill our belly with. Now, this probably would be more so if it's an overabundance of these things, okay? I jotted a few of them down. One of them would be candy. Remember as a kid going out, usually going out, some did, some didn't perhaps, but I went out trick-or-treating, and again, you come back and you just pour that bag of candy on the floor. It's like, wow, look at all this candy. And if you're not careful, I don't remember necessarily getting sick from that, but I had a flashback just a little bit ago. I'm thinking, you know, I never kind of liked corn candy. And I'm thinking, I mean, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you're like this or not, I'm thinking that I believe I got sick eating too much corn candy one time, and that's why I don't care much for it now. But if you put too much corn candy in there, you're going to get sick. Not a good thing to put in your belly. If you drink too much pop, you know, do you have any idea how much sugar is in pop as far as the regular pop? So if you drink a bunch of pop, that's not necessarily a good thing. Those energy drinks, I wouldn't recommend anybody drink those. I've heard doctors tell people, young people, you know, do not drink this. Get off of this. It's causing too many problems. Sweet tea. Now, that's good, but if you drink too much sweet tea, you might find out your sugar's getting a little bit high because you're getting McDonald's sweet tea, and it has three parts sugar for one part water. Ice cream. Now, that's good, right? But if you ate too much ice cream, some people love ice. I mean, they eat ice cream every single night. I know some people... John, is that you? Either yes, yes. I'm not in scripture yet. Don't amen yet. But the ice cream, if you eat too much, can be not only it can fill you up, bloat you a little bit, maybe make your belly bigger than what it ought to be. I'll try not to get too personal there. But Little Debbie cakes, what about them? I like Little Debbie. I don't think Little Debbie makes a bad cake. I'm not sure who Little Debbie is, but by golly, she's quite a baker. Actually, the company is in Collegedale, Tennessee, which is real close to Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Little Debbie Cake McKee's Bakery, wasn't it? And we knew some people when we was in school down there that had worked or was at least affiliated with Little Debbie's, as far as I'm concerned. But if you eat too many Little Debbie cakes, you'll be as wide as you are tall. And it may not be a good thing. It may make your belly... M&M's. Some people M&M's. I've heard of people eating lots and lots of M&M's. And I'll not tell you that one night I... Not M&M's, but little Fig Newtons. You like Fig Newtons? I didn't even tell you this. It's a secret. But I guess since we're... I ate a whole sleeve of Fig Newtons one night. Boy, they tasted good. I was in one of my cheating on my diet moods, you know. But there's certain things we can put in our belly that's not good. But do you realize there are certain things, some bad things that we can fill our hearts, our minds, and our lives with as well? Now, it's a little bit more than just, you know, I want to expand it a little bit beyond our actions, but things, kind of things that settle in our heart and our mind and dwell in us, and we take it everywhere we go, like the world's ideas. You know, we can fill ourselves with the world's ideas and what the world thinks about everything. And that's not a good thing. We can fill our lives with pride and selfishness. Now, that comes really easy, by the way. You know, yeah, I want what I want when I want it. And so we all battle that, right? But that's not something that our hearts and minds and lives should be filled with. We can fill our lives kind of touching back in and connecting dots back with our Sunday morning series that we've been in. We can fill our lives with greed. You know, how much is enough? Just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. We can fill our hearts and lives and minds with that. We can fill our hearts, lives, and minds with attitude. Not a good attitude, a bad attitude. I mean, everywhere we go, we just got an attitude. You know, the world owes me everything, and you get out of my way because I'm more important than you. Kind of that thought ties in with some of the others. We can fill our hearts, minds, and lives with fear. Some people are one walking, talking, fearful person. I mean, it's just like they're afraid of everything. We can fill it with bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, because I guarantee you that everybody here has had at least one person treat them wrong. And probably the number would be a lot more than that if we actually do. Because all of us had people, and we can either deal with that with forgiveness as a Christian, or we can go around with bitterness and like... You know, at just about ready to boil over at any point. We can even fill our hearts, minds, and lives with jealousy. Jealousy. I want what they got. And there's lots of other things you could put in there. So there's bad things we can put in our belly. There's bad things we can put in our hearts, minds, and lives. Tonight, we're going to be talking about being full of the Word. Full of the Word. We've been in Colossians chapter 3 for quite some time. Actually, we're getting, I believe, as best I can tell from the Lord, we won't be in it too much longer, but we'll, a little bit longer. Colossians chapter 3. This is a great chapter. I mean, there's so much in this chapter. We spent quite a bit of time talking, and I want to put a plug in for Bubba. He's still here. And if you want to take a selfie, you better be taking it because he's not going to be there too much longer. But I know that makes me sad, but I love his amens. I mean, he's just, and I love his presence, his faithfulness. And so, but tonight we're going to be talking about full of the Word. Now, I doubt if anything you hear tonight, it's like, oh, I have never heard that before. I doubt that's going to happen, but maybe there's something in it will click and help us to be more full of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We're only looking at part of that verse tonight. We're not even looking at the whole verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, here's the Word of God. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's all we're going to read tonight. Now, isn't that something? How many words is that? I didn't count it. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 words. But don't get excited. It's not going to be that short. The sermon, that is. But the Word of God, when Paul goes through, as he writes to the Colossian church, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians, right? And remember the first verses in chapter 3, basically the general gist of the idea there, he goes into a lot of detail, but we're not what we used to be. So don't act like we used to act. Once you trust Jesus, you're different. And then it got into put on these things. And we talked about 8 things we're supposed to put on. Every day we wake up, we're supposed to put on. And then in this section, at least, are some concluding comments that we're looking at. We looked at let the peace of God rule in your hearts in verse 15. We're supposed to have peace in our heart to umpire or referee our hearts and minds, right? Rather to keep everything in perspective where it ought to be. Have peace. Don't be upset. All a basket case. Just let be calm. And then we said scripture from verse 15, and be ye thankful. Last week we looked at being thankful. We need to be thankful. Precursor, I guess, to Thanksgiving coming up at near the end of this month. But now it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, I really think we should take that personal. Really. First of all, point number one, in this sermon entitled Full of the Word, it's a command. It's a command. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's not like, okay, I'm suggesting here that you do that. You need to let the Word. Now, by the very command, it seems to me that it must be possible or it wouldn't be phrased in there that way, right? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I can be full of the Word of God. Well, why would the Word of God command you to do something that you are not capable of doing without God's help? So, it's a command, first of all. Number two, it involves the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ. Now, I believe that's just talking about the Word of God, right? The Word of Christ. Now, the words of Christ are included in red in the New Testament during his ministry. Everybody with me on that? Okay. But isn't all of it really the Word of Christ? The whole Bible, the Word of Christ? Now, this is one disadvantage of having such a heavy Bible. It's hard for me to lift this thing up. It's so heavy. But the point is, God says, I command you, let the words of Christ, the Word of God, and then we're going to talk about what he wants us to do with it. But it says in John 1 and verse 14, notice this. You know, Jesus actually is the Word incarnate. He is the Word in flesh. It says right there what? It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, right? This is the written Word, but we have Christ, the Word in flesh. It says, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, it's a command. It involves the Word of Christ, because it says there, and let the Word of Christ. What? Point number three. The Word is supposed to dwell in me and you. The Word is supposed, this Bible is supposed to dwell in you and I. You say, what's that mean, to dwell? You know, the idea is to abide, to live in your life. This Word is supposed to be in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in a big way. It's actually supposed to dwell in there so much that it should control everything that we say and do. Now, I find that kind of interesting, don't you? The way it's phrased, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you. I said, preacher, are we supposed to have a surgery and implant a little computer chip into our body somewhere? No. The Word of God is supposed to dwell in us. We're supposed to be so familiar with the Word of God and know the Word of God that it's supposed to be a part of our thinking, a part of our emotions, a part of our actions, everything that we do. Now, I told you this isn't going to be new revelation. We know that, right? But it says very clearly, and let the Word of Christ dwell in you. But that's not all. Point number one, it's command. Point number two, it involves the Word of Christ or the Word of God that we have before us. Third, the Word is supposed to dwell in me and you. That is abide in, live in our hearts, our lives, our minds. Point number four, we're supposed to be full of the Word. Full of the Word. You say, where do you see that at? It just says it's supposed to be in there. But you see that little word, richly? Richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I believe the whole idea, if you want to condense it down, we're supposed to be full of the Word of God. You know what? A lot of the problems with Christians, we got a little bit of the Word of God in us. You know, the Word of God's not like Brill Cream. I know I can mention it to this bunch. You'll remember those commercials. A little dab will do you, right? Now, the Word of God is not like Brill Cream that a little dab will do you. And see, we got a whole lot of Christians. And I do mean a whole lot of Christians. And I'm not saying you. Hopefully that's not you. But we do have a whole lot of people that profess Jesus who's got a little tiny bit of the Word of God. I mean, when it comes to the simplest of principles in the Word of God, it blows their brain. I mean, when it comes to social issues, they have no clue how to back up an argument from the Word of God on why we stand for life or why we stand for traditional marriage between one man and one woman for life. They have no idea. I mean, in any of these areas, in any social issue I can mention, they don't know why we do half the things we do in church from the Word of God. It's like, why do we have communion? Well, because we're commanded to as an ordinance of the church. Why do we baptize? Because everybody that got baptized, everybody that got saved in the New Testament almost immediately was baptized, right? So, I mean, they got a little bit of the Word of God. Sometimes the little bit of the Word of God that they have in their hearts and life is not even a complete thought. I'm not sure it's quite the right word. But what people like to do, they like to pull little things out of Scripture, out of context. They twist Scripture to meet what they think they should do. Because to usually justify what they want to do. That's taking a little bit of the Word of God and a little bit of the Word of God. We can't do that. If we do that, our theology will all be messed up and we'll be very, very weak Christians. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. We're supposed to be full of the Word of God. Now, you think about it. Now, I know, I realize that we're also told to be full of the Holy Spirit, right? That means totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't you think the Word of God, being full of the Word of God and being full of the Holy Spirit go together? You know, it's kind of interesting that when you read the Word of God and try to figure out what God's will is for your life, we say, well, God will use the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to speak to the child of God so that you can get right in the center of the will of God, right? So, really, being full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God are very closely aligned. If you got both of them, you're in good shape. If you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. But really, I really probably could not name a preacher that's worth his weight in salt who is a biblical conservative preacher and believes in the literal interpretation of the Word of God. I doubt if very, very many of them would say, oh yeah, we have, oh yes, we're just, most would say we are probably the most biblically illiterate generation around. I mean, how come our churches have strayed from the doctrine of the Word of God? I mean, why have whole denominations gone away from the Word of God and started to ordain homosexuals into ministry? Why? It's because we were not full of the Word of God. And remember, I've said this quite often, you know, our church is only a composite mix of where we are as individuals. So, I'm going to say something and point to people, but I'm not meaning that they're that. Okay, don't take offense, preacher. Point to me. Okay, let's see. Let's say Marcia, she's half full of the Word of God, and we got Ken over here. He's only a quarter full of the Word of God, and we got Amy over there. She's only got a 16th of the Word of God. And we got Larry back there. He's 3/4. You know what I'm saying? We get together. We're a mix of all of us put together. And really, we as individuals need to be all full of the Word of God. And when we come to God's house, we're all full of the Word of God. And we're full of the Holy Spirit. And it ought to be God doing some big things. But when we're really low on the Word of God and really low on being controlled by the Spirit, we come to church and it's like, man, I didn't feel anything. Did you feel anything? You know, sometimes it's because we come so empty, if you will, so unfull, non-full, what's the word? Empty of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, that we come and it's like, but if we come as we should, now I realize I'm not preaching perfection and say, well, I'm going to come to church now because I don't think I'm full of the Word of God. Well, I mean, work on it. We're all a work in progress. But I'm saying, you know, don't always blame the preacher because you didn't get anything out of the Word of God. Maybe it's because you're not full of the Word of God yourself and you're not full of the Holy Spirit. And it might be going right over top of your head. Does that make sense? You see, we're supposed to be full of the Word. Full of the Word. Not just a wee little bit. Again, a little bit. Brill cream. Just not a little bit. And the sad part is a lot of Christians are perfectly content with just a little bit. I got just a little bit. I know what verses I can use to justify what I'm doing, which I know I shouldn't be doing, but that's all I need. Or I just have a little. It really amazes me. I mean, really, it's very sad to me, and it amazes me that some Christians are perfectly content with where they are in the Christian life. I don't think we should ever be content where we are in the Christian life. It should be a growing. It should be more filled with the Holy Spirit, more filled with the Word of God. It's a process. You know, every day, you should be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I look a little bit more like Jesus today. Now, of course, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in the way I think and the way I act and all of that. And part of that comes by being filled with the Word of God. Because how are you going to look like God if you don't have the Word of God inside of you? make sense? I got to quit saying that. Does that make sense? That makes sense? That's a bad habit to get into, isn't it? Okay. So, it's a command. It involves the word of Christ. The word is supposed to dwell in me and you. Number four, we're supposed to be full of the word. Full, richly. You know, we use that word rich. If you ever eat a dessert, now I'm not sure I've ever said this, but I know Amy sometimes, she'll get some, boy, it's rich. And I'm like, it's just good. And what are you saying when it's rich? You know, things like hot fudge brownie delight. That's pretty good, right? You ever heard of that dessert, death by chocolate? Man, those aren't too rich, but you say rich. What are you saying? It's too full of chocolate, right? It's rich. We're supposed to be so full of the Word of God. We're supposed to richly have the Word of God in our hearts and lives and minds. Really? Number five, and there's only six. Number five, being full of the Word should lead to living out the Word. Being full of the Word should lead to living out the Word. You say, where's that at? Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, what? In all wisdom. In all wisdom. You see, you got some Christians that are not full of the word. They just got a little tiny bit of the word. And then you got some Christians who have the word, and they can give you the answer, and they know why they believe what they believe. But there's a disconnect between knowing the word and living the word. I mean, sometimes, I'm telling you, in the ministry, sometimes I'm like, I just shake my head. You know, Paul did that with one church. I forget exactly which church. I think it was the Galatian church. He said something like, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it very, very poorly probably. But he said, I am so amazed at how quickly you have wandered from the truth of God's word and my teachings. And sometimes I just look at people and it's like, yeah, and these are people that you'd think would know better. I mean, these are the people that come to church. And sometimes even in the night services. And I'm honestly not thinking of anybody in this group, okay? But I've been doing this a while. I've been around. What's that? Okay, I'm thinking of you, Teresa. It's you. Well, listen to this because this is for you. No, actually, I'm not. But I've been doing this a while. And you talk to people, and they appear that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's for Jesus. They appear to be full of the Word of God. And they know the right answers. But sometimes you start talking to them about some practical things in life, and it's like, how could you get that so wrong? I mean, how could you? And see, because wisdom is lacking. You see, now I know the Word of God sometimes uses knowledge and wisdom and understanding in the Proverbs interchangeably. I get that. But as far as, let's say, English-speaking people, it's one thing to have the knowledge. I know what the Word of God says. But wisdom says, I know how to put it into practice in my life. And you'll sometimes get this. Whenever things come up to disagreeable in a church, you know, there's disagreement here or there. You can figure out. They know what the Word of God says, but they haven't figured out how to put it into practice yet. I mean, really, you're kind of like, and I'm going, uh-oh. Here we go again. Seriously. And it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, I'm thankful. To me, wisdom's not a drag. It's like, oh. I mean, to me, wisdom is exciting. It's like, because I know the Word of God and the Word of God dwells in me richly, and I could do better. The Word of God could dwell in me more richly. I'm not sinner of God. Y'all got all the answers, people. But I'm saying, but when you know the Word of God, and sometimes I find myself, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm only 25, but I'm not a teenager anymore, at least. But I find something, and now please, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't even say this, because it may come out as cocky, but sometimes I find myself saying something, and it's usually to the boys, because I'm their dad. And I'm like, wow, did I just say that? And don't take that, please, as cocky. But I'm just saying, I believe it's because when you let the Word of God fill you, and you're full of the Word of God, and you know the Word of God, and you apply the Word of God, you know how to put it into practice. Because, you know, boys have questions sometimes, right? And we live in life, and I've thought all about being parenting is a teaching moment. Seriously. So I use those teaching moments, and sometimes I'm like, wow. Where'd that come from? It comes from being full of the Word of God and letting that work through you to come up with an answer. Does that make sense? Being full of the Word of God should lead to living out the Word of God in wisdom. In wisdom. Last point. We've looked at full of the Word out of Colossians 3:16. This is the first part of the verse. It's a command. You let. It's a choice, it sounds like to me too, right? Second, it involves the Word of Christ or the Word of God. Third, the Word is supposed to dwell in me and you, or abide in us, live in us. Number four, we're supposed to be full of the Word, richly, it says, not just a little dab. Five, being full of the Word should lead to living out the Word of God in wisdom. Last point, how do we become full of the Word? How do we become full of the Word? Now, this is not found, I'm telling you, this is not found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It just says you need to do it. But let's put on our thinking caps for just a moment and think about how can we fill up on the Word of God? Now, several ways, okay, and I may miss some obvious one. If I do, please forgive me. But one way, and we'll get to some more, but one way we can fill up on the Word of God is by coming to Sunday school. Sunday school. You know, Sunday school is the opportunity to ask your teacher questions. Then I'd encourage you, unless it's me, ask your teacher really hard questions and watch them squirm a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Amy's over shaking her head at me. That's pretty bad when your wife's shaking your head. And it's not this, it's this. Okay. But seriously, that's the opportunity we get to pour the Word of God with some help from a teacher. Now, I tell you, my heart is burdened for some people that seem to have zero, I mean zero hunger for the Word of God. Folks, you need to go back to Calvary. You need to go back to where you trusted Jesus. Seriously. And make sure it's real. Because if you have no hunger for the Word of God, at least a wee little bit, there's a problem. But listen, you can come to Sunday school and the Word of God can pull into your heart and mind and into your life. What about listening to the preacher? That should be, and in our church it is the case. I hope you feel that way. We're not just up there, well, I think this is, I'm going to give you my opinion on this. And I'm, you know, and today, according to the current events, and I hope you get it, that I'm trying as close as I can to stick to the Bible. So when you come and listen to a sermon, I mean, it's a good idea. You know, it's not just one of those efforts in futility that I say, okay, pray that God will speak to your heart. Because that puts the responsibility to some degree back on y'all. So focusing in on the Word of God and just under help, like a Sunday school teacher, let your preacher help you fill up with the Word of God. It's like a you remember that in the good old days, those gas station attendants? And you pull up, I remember mom pulling up to the gas station. Give me a dollar's worth. Wow. They'd laugh at you now. Plus there's no more attendants. But you remember what? They filled up the gas tank. Part of what the role of a Sunday school teacher and a preacher is to help fill up your gas tank, that is your heart's gas tank, your heart's tank with the Word of God. So, I think it's a good idea to be as faithful, and I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, but I think it's a good idea to be as faithful as we can to be to Sunday school, to hear the sermons. And then what about devotions? You know, everybody here should have a devotion before God every day because there's a whole lot of distractions. We need to be reminded and focused and pour in the Word of God through our devotion. And I'd encourage you to make sure your devotion includes the Word of God. Now, what I've found with a lot of devotionals, they got a lot to say, but it's not necessarily based upon the Word of God Or they'll give you 3 pages of what they think, or at least a full page, and they won't give you any verses. I mean, it ought to be, let me read what the Scripture says, and there's nothing wrong. Let's let it read what they say. And, oh, that's a good thought. I'll take it with me. Do you understand the difference a little bit? But what are you doing? You're pouring in the Word of God. You're filling up with the Word of God. What about through just plain Bible reading? You know, beyond devotions and a devotional thought, just reading the Bible, saturating yourself with the Word of God, pouring it in chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter. I'd encourage you to get into those Bible reading plans where you read through the Bible in a certain amount of time. I mean, they're everywhere. You can find those things online. It's not like we don't have the information on how to do it. Sometimes we just don't have the want to do it. But what are you doing? You're pouring in the Word of God. You're filling up with the Word of God when you read through the Bible. What about studying and pondering on the Word of God? Pondering, that's a good word. It's in the Bible. Study, ponder the Word of God. You know, why not look up a topic? And sometimes, and they say, what? And I can give you, probably I should do that at some point, give you some ideas on some good study resources to help you find things. And if you're biblically literate, there's all kind of stuff out there free now that you can Google and search concordances and things like that. If not, you know, there's books you can buy. You know, they still make those things, books. But what about studying and pondering the Word of God? Thinking about it. Actually saying, why do I believe that this is right? Well, let's find it in the Word of God. Lots of resources out there. What about Bible memorization? What about memorizing the Word of God? I know that may not be easy. You say, preacher, I have a hard enough time remembering my address. A little less. But you know what? Even if we can't memorize, I believe we can to a degree. Really, I think we still have a little bit of that. It might even help with our mind and memory a little bit. But you can write them on index cards. A verse, maybe for the week. And you got a little index card, and you put that little index card somewhere you'll see it, put it on the refrigerator, and think about it for that week. Take it with you. Put it on your dashboard as you're driving. Don't read it while you're driving. You're a bad enough driver already. But do you see the point? Memorizing, at least sticking to, putting it on index cards and taking it with you. What about Christian radio? Christian radio. I'd recommend conservative Christian radio. Man, DGV is the one we listen to more than anything else. The one out of West Union. I like their selection of music. It's very good and solid and biblical, conservative. Plus, they have preachers on. I don't typically listen to the preachers a whole lot, to be honest with you. But when they have a lot of music and a lot of good stuff, and they got news and they got weather and all that. You know, surround yourself with things Christian. It will help you be full of the Word of God. Full of the Word of God. You know, we talked about tonight, it's a command. It involves the Word of God. Third, the Word's supposed to dwell in me and you. Fourth, we're supposed to be full of the Word, richly. Number five, being full of the Word should lead to living out the Word. And then we looked at how do we become full of the Word. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, it'd be kind of cool if you could put your Bible under your pillow and sleep, and by the process of osmosis, you wake up and say, I just feel like I'm full of the Word of God. It just doesn't work that way. Put forth some effort with God's help. Amen. Through coming to Sunday school, listening to the sermons, doing your devotions, by reading the Bible, by studying yourself, by pondering on the Word of God, even making little index cards, by memorizing the Word of God, and listening to such good things as good Christian radio. Guess what? If you're not full of the Word of God, it's not God's fault. It's not God's problem. I'll bet you most of us here have more than one of these at home. I'll bet you most of us have 4 or 5 of these at home. So it's no dearth of the Word of God or shortage of the Word of God. But we just got to make sure that we are filled with the Word of God. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not like, oh man, it's such a drag. Preacher talked about that. That's terrible. I don't want to be full. When you're filled with the Word of God, it gives you wisdom. It tells you how to live life. And that in conjunction with the Spirit of God that lives inside of you gives you guidance and wisdom and encouragement. Isn't it cool the way the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together? But it can't work together if we're not filled with the Word of God. Bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As we started tonight, we can be full of a bunch of things in our hearts and our lives and in our minds that are not good. And we talked about several of them: world's ideas, pride and selfishness, greed and attitude and fear and bitterness and jealousy. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to be full of the Word of God, God's perfect Word? Let me ask you, if you could estimate on how full of the Word of God you are, and I know that's kind of a tough question, but if there was a gauge, just like your fuel gauge on your car, how full are you of the Word of God? Would you say, full, or three-quarter full, or half full, quarter full? Well, I'm pretty much on empty. I'm running on fumes, preacher. If you think that gauge ought to go up a little bit, would you just talk to the Lord right now? The Word of God says, and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly